I'm not going to be preaching as such this morning. I'm just going to be sharing for a short while, and then going to be inviting Anise and Vicky to also come and share, because we've got some exciting things to be sharing about the new year and about the way we do things on Sunday and how that ties in with our 2020 vision. But I just wanted to share a little bit for a moment, just kind of tying in with a series that we've been looking at this term called Now We Are Free. We've been looking through the Exodus story. Now, I don't think I've ever started a talk on a Sunday by bringing a quote from Boy George, but I'm going to do that this morning. Some of you will know Boy George. He was a lead singer with a band in the 80s called The Culture Club. He's a DJ. More recently, he's been a judge on the BBC show The Voice. And in an interview with a national newspaper after attending the christening of a godson, Boy George, who is not a church attender or a kind of believer, had this to say. I don't know if we're going to be able to find it on the PowerPoint. Doesn't seem to be working from here. I'll just leave it in the hands of my tech people. So this is what Boy George had to say. He said this: churches are glorious places, but don't you wish they were a little more inviting? And then he went on to describe his experience and the experience of other church members who also weren't kind of regular church attenders, and just how alien the whole kind of experience had been for them, going into a church and attending a service. And then he finished by saying this: the church badly needs a facelift because it's God's theatre on earth, and he should be packing them in. And I just thought that was a fascinating phrase for an unbeliever and a non-church attender to say. That the church, i.e. God's people, are his theatre on earth. I just thought that was an amazing truth and very insightful for someone who's not a believer or not a church attender. That God's people, his church, are his theatre on earth. And Boy George's take on it was that God should be packing them in. It is an amazing truth. When God works in our lives, it is not a small thing, is it? When he brings healing to us, salvation to us, freedom to us, encouragement to us, strength to us, sets us free from things that are oppressing us and holding us, when he provides for us, when he heals us, as Sue was just giving testimony. It's huge. What an amazing drama of the divine being intimately involved in the lives of those he's created. Is there any more compelling story or theatre than that on earth? Than God reaching out in saving love and power and grace to those he has made. The church is God's theatre on earth. I just want to think about that for a moment, because that is God's plan. That is God's plan. Now, I don't mean that theatre, we don't need to overthink this kind of metaphor. It's not that God's playing games. It's not that he's putting on a show. But that God is wanting to do something in and through his people that is going to be visible, that is going to be powerful, that others are going to see and be drawn to. It is God's plan to be seen through his people. He blesses us and he brings us all these things, this provision, this freedom, all the things that we've been thinking about in the Exodus story and how that relates to us. In terms of the freedom that Jesus brings us, he does that in our lives because he loves us, but also because he wants his goodness in us to be seen by many. God wants to be seen through his people. God plans to be seen through his people. As he pours his goodness out into our lives, he wants it to be seen by others. As he blesses us, he wants others to know that this is his heart for them too. The church is God's theatre on earth. This is God's plan to be seen through his people. We see it in the Exodus. Okay, we've been going through this story over this term. When we look at the Exodus, it's easy sometimes just to see it in terms of a story that involves the people of Israel, as something that's kind of quite exclusive. It's just about one bunch of people. God moving to rescue them, to bring them from freedom from slavery, to establish them as a nation centered around knowing his presence and his blessing. And that's all true. But we can think that just because God chooses this particular nation at this point in history to develop this special relationship with, that he, in choosing them, is rejecting others. That he's rejecting others, other people, other nations. And that couldn't be further from the truth, could it? God's heart has always been to bless the nations and the people groups of the earth. It's always to reach out to the nations and to the people groups. The theologian Chris Wright says this: the mission of God is to bless all the nations on earth. Israel in the Old Testament was not chosen over and against the rest of the nations, but for the sake of the rest of the nations. God wasn't choosing one people and rejecting all the others. He was choosing one people that they might be the theatre through which his grace and his glory and his saving power and love might be on display to every nation. Right back at the birth of the nation, when God makes a promise and a call over Abraham's life, it couldn't be clearer. He says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I will bless you and I will make you great. Now that sounds a little bit exclusive, doesn't it? But then he goes on to say, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed by you. Yeah, God choosing a particular people to bless, but it's not at the expense of everyone else. It's for the sake of everyone else. That his glory might be on display. That his love and his saving power might be on display. He's choosing one nation to be a stage for him to reveal himself, to invite all the other nations to come and to see and to hear and to know how good a God he is. And we read this in Exodus 34. I wonder if you could put this up for me, Peter. This is what God says when he tells his people what he's doing. He says, I'm making a covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. God say, I'm coming to bless you. I'm coming to make a special commitment to you. And it's for your blessing and it's to do you good, but it's also so that the nations might see. Although God knows that Pharaoh's heart is going to be hard, he sends Moses as a missionary to that people group to present to them the living God. And we see is that the story develops of the Exodus, and as they move into the promised land, that this comes to pass. The news of what God has done on behalf of his people goes before his people. The peoples around them, the nations, they do see and they do hear. And of course, it's not just God's heart for people to see and to hear, but to step into and to enjoy and to know for themselves what he longs to do amongst his people. And in Isaiah 45, God expresses it very, very powerfully through his prophet. And he says, turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. So God's establishing for himself of a people is not to turn away those of other nations, but to be a light and a signpost and an invitation to other nations to come and join the worship of the one true God. And we see specific examples of that in the Old Testament, don't we? Of people outside the nation of Israel coming and knowing God and worshipping God. We see Rahab, Ruth, Naaman, but those are just the headliners. God warns his people not to allow the culture and the false religions and the sin of other nations to touch them, but his heart is for those people of other nations, for any who will turn and come to him. And so we see enshrined in the Old Testament law, it wasn't just about one or two or three, it's actually there enshrined in the law of the people that God gives to his people, provision for the welcome of those from other nations, for practical provision, for the legal rights of aliens and foreigners and strangers coming in, and provision for their entry into a worshipping community. It's all laid out in God's law to encourage anyone from any nation who wants to come in and find new life in him. God's plan is to be seen through his people. And we see it in the Exodus. We see it in the mission of Jesus, don't we? Jesus said he'd come to the lost sheep of Israel, but his plan was that when he'd be lifted up, he would draw all people to himself. He called those around him to follow him from a particular people group, but then he commissioned them to go to the ends of the earth. God's plan is to be seen through his people. We see it not just in the mission of Jesus, but we see it in the early church. As the Holy Spirit is poured out, the church becomes the city on the hill that Jesus prophesied they would be. And we see in that context of the community of God's grace and favor being revealed and worked out in relationship that thousands are saved and added to the church. God wants to be seen through his people. His church is his theater on earth, where he demonstrates his grace and his glory to draw others to himself. What an amazing truth. The freedom and the salvation and the provision he brings, which transforms our lives week on week. We hear testimonies of it, don't we? We experience the reality of it in our own lives. It's a blessing for us, but it's a beacon of hope for others. God's plan is to be seen through his people. We're his theatre on earth, his grace on show, and it's in our hearts too, isn't it? God's plan to be seen through his people. We see it in the Exodus, we see it in the mission of Jesus, we see it in the early church, it's in our hearts too, isn't it? We want to be God's theatre on earth, don't we? Don't we? We want God to be seen through us. We want his glory and his grace to be revealed in our lives. It's in the heart of our 2020 vision, isn't it? As we have our three R's that interlink, our restore and our release and our reach, we long to see more of God's restoration in our lives. You know, we often talk about how we are muddy masterpieces, made in God's image, yet how we need God's grace and his love and his power to come and to heal and to transform us, to reveal more of the glory of that image in us. And then as he does that, that we are then bought into more and more of the freedom that he has for us, and we're released into being the people that he's planned for us, into doing everything that he's planned for us. And then our lives, as they become testimonies of his goodness, we're able to reach out through those testimonies of God's grace with the good news to others. We can see that in our individual lives. At the beginning of the year, we did the series Fruitfulness on the Front Line, didn't we? Ways that we just to expect, to ask God to reveal himself through us, amongst the people that we spend our time with, for his love and his grace and his truth to be revealed as we partner with the Holy Spirit. Because individual lives under the grace of God are incredible testimonies. But also together, there's something stunning, isn't there, about the community of God, the family of God, living out relationships of love and forgiveness and grace and acceptance and welcome and generosity and authenticity and honor. That's how we want it to be, isn't it? The theater of God, his people, us, his grace on display through us, not just for our benefit and blessing, but to shout aloud that all God has given us is for everyone else too. We want to give people every possible window, don't we, into his community, his kingdom through his people, where it's expressed. That's why we have life groups, isn't it, where we can do life together and invite others in to see. And we had a great life group the other week. We had two guys come in who are not born again. One who's come in through Jubilee Tots. Tots team have just been doing great work with him. And Ed gave his testimony. This guy's powerfully impacted through the life group, through God being displayed through his people. We want to find as many ways as possible and to make it as easy as possible for people to come in and to find life. I want to do that on Sundays. Okay, how can we help people who are new, not yet part of the church? Maybe they're completely unchurched. Maybe for them, like Boy George and his family, church is a completely alien thing to them. How can we help them come in, feel welcomed, feel connected into what is going on? That's our heart. That's what we desperately want, isn't it? And it's hugely important, because you know what it's like. We can work so hard to invite people, can't we? Whether it's to a carol service, or to a special event, or just to one of our regular Sundays, when we see God at work in people's lives. How many times sometimes do we invite people before they actually come? We know that one of the biggest factors in whether someone who comes along into a new environment, an alien environment like the church is for many, one of the biggest factors of whether they will come back again is how they are made to feel at home, how they are connected into people in that short window, how they are connected into what is happening in this kind of very strange environment to them. And so just as Boy George was provoking us, we're thinking about how can we make church more inviting so that maybe people are packing into God's theatre, because that's what we long for. Because when they're here, we have great news to share. God's grace and His glory is amazing. His Spirit is at work. We have so much to offer. We have a vision to be 200 plus adults here, this church. If we're going to see that, and we've just made that vision because we feel that's what God's put on our heart, to reach out to people with the good news of Jesus so that they become followers of Him. If we're going to see that, we need to see many, many, many new people coming in, being connected into Elsham Community Church. Those who already know Jesus, who can come and join us and help us on the mission, and those who are as yet unsaved, but who can explore faith amongst us. And we want to make this as easy as possible. So as a leadership, we've been thinking and praying and talking about this. And we've been delighted this year as we've been doing that, that we've been approached by some people in the church who've got a real heart and vision and passion for this. How can we help people connect in who are new, to whom church may be a real kind of alien thing, different kind of completely strange culture? How can we help them connect in? And so, in a moment, I'm just going to invite Anise and Vicky, and they're going to come and share some of their heart and some of the plans that we've been looking at and making together for ways that we can help people connect in with what's happening here at church. God plans to be seen through His people. They're His theatre on earth. And the show, in the right way, is amazing. Yeah, the subject is amazing. Jesus is center stage. And we want to give people every opportunity they have to come in and see and to connect that. So can I invite you, Anise and Vicky, to come now? Thank you.
Seamless. Okay, so if they turn up at the moment, they'll be welcomed in a really good way by our current welcome team. But when they come in, they come in at the moment to quite an empty foyer. In the main hall, we have a visitor's table at the back, which is at the moment unmanned at the beginning of the service. And we have a group of people who are praying in the corner, which is good. But it can feel quite awkward if you've never been to church before, just to come in and know what to do. So hopefully the changes that we're going to make will help address that positively.
So at Aylsham Community Church, you know, the heart of our welcome has always been really good. And from my personal point of view, I remember when I joined the church, I started coming here about 4 years ago, I was made to feel so welcome. And people who I spoke to on that first morning connected me to people that they knew I would have something in common with. And I had Evie with me, who at that time was only 8 months old. And I remember being directed to speak to Anise and Jen, who had families with children of a similar age. And I really felt that I connected with people here and I wanted to come back. And this is what it's all about. This has always been the heart behind seeing new people feel connected in our church. And because we've got faith to see significant growth over the next 4 years to the end of 2020, and thinking about what a church of 200 plus regular adult attenders would look like, as Anise and Simon have said, there's now a need to kind of sharpen and refine what we already do really well and take it from being good to being really great.
Okay, so what does this mean for us? Well, there are two main changes that we are making as Aylsham Community Church from the 8th of January. The first is that we're launching a new Connect team, which Vicky will talk about in a few minutes. And the second change is that we're going to be moving our refreshments so they take place before the service starts rather than at the end. So the new time to be here on a Sunday is 10 o'clock. We will not only be offering tea and coffee from 10, but there'll also be a selection of food items available, maybe donuts, cookies, muffins, that type of thing, all available until about 10:25. Now, we've already mentioned just that empty foyer feeling when people walk in. And so what we're going to be doing is transforming the foyer area into a self-service cafe-style refreshments area. There'll be flasks of good coffee, and hot water for tea and that kind of stuff. You'll be able to make your tea or coffee just the way you like it and chat to others whilst munching on your donut. Now, we'll have a dedicated Connect area where we can get details of new people, if that's appropriate, on our new Connect cards, which you may or may not have seen. And they're part of the postcard packs that we have now, which are all out in the foyer. Something else that we're going to have is something called a Sunday menu on display. So we recognise that, as Simon said, if people come to our church who know nothing about how church is done, then actually having something that just details what to expect during the morning is going to be really helpful for them. So 10 o'clock is the new time to be here. The worship team is going to be finishing their run through earlier. The prayer in the corner before the service starts is also going to be finishing earlier so that those people are also ready to head to the foyer for 10. Okay, so the main aim of this really is to create one dedicated area for both our new people and our regular church family to hang out together, and it's meant to be fun. So we get it that not everyone likes changing things, but it's kind of like when a couple are expecting a new baby. They adapt their house and routines because they're anticipating growth. Their family is expanding. And the way things are set up in their home, when it's just the two of them, isn't sufficient. In the same way, we want to make sure that as we anticipate growth as a church family, that our structures and routines are set up in a way that facilitates this as much as possible. And we really need all of us to get on board with this, because making new people feel connected and helping those who feel on the edges of our church family feel included is the responsibility of all of us here, not just the role of the Connect team.
So I'd just like to spend a couple of minutes thinking about why the name Connect has been chosen, and we've spoken a bit about it already. But the word connect really does cover, you know, greeting people at the door through to making them feel at home and comfortable and at ease throughout the whole service, through to ensuring that they've made a connection with people before they leave and therefore hopefully have a desire to come back and be family with us and learn more about God. But it also covers the fact that the people that will be on the Connect team itself are facilitators. Okay, we are connecting people to one another. We're facilitating that. And by introducing them to others in the church during our pre-service time, that's what we're doing. We're facilitating those connections. So it covers those serving on the team, but it also includes all of us here at ACC, as Anise has just said. We all have a responsibility to make people feel at home. And thinking about the terminology that we kind of currently use and the way we think about things, we tend to think about new people and we call them visitors. And we also say that we welcome them into the church, which is a good thing, but we also want to suggest going forward that perhaps we change our terminology to talking about new people. We don't just want them to make a connection with us, we want them to come back, be part of our family, as I've said, and come to know God.
Okay, so we've told you what Sunday mornings will look like from the 8th of January. We've covered the launch of the Connect team. Well, you won't be able to miss the team. They will be donning lovely purple Connect team t-shirts. Yeah. So this makes the team instantly visible to anyone who is new, both before, during and after the service. Now, as we've mentioned quite a bit, if our vision is to grow to 200 plus adult attendees, that's kind of double what we've got here at the moment. And so the need for the Connect team to stand out will become more and more important as we grow bigger and bigger. Now, whilst the Connect team will have some responsibility for ensuring that everything's running smoothly in the professional area, the role of the team primarily is to facilitate connections.
As a team, we will be looking to connect new people to you so that you can help them to feel connected to us throughout the morning.
So, for example, if someone new arrives and I find out in my conversation with them while I'm having a coffee with them that they have teenage boys, I might be looking to introduce them to James and Penny because I know that they are at a similar life stage and hopefully they will have some things.
So we really do need you guys to be here at 10 o'clock. It's going to be good to be here then. It'll be fun to start our morning eating and drinking together.
We went to a church in the summer when we were away and they did refreshments at the start and we'd never been there before. And just, it was so much easier with my children to be able to have something to do with them and immediately have people to talk to. Okay. So, I hope that you're feeling excited. It is exciting. I hope that you can see that in order to take steps towards the vision God's given us here at Elsham Community Church, positive change is good. And I also hope that some of you might be feeling stirred to want to be part of the team, because it really doesn't matter if you're a teenager or if you're older than a teenager. If you have a heart for people, an ability to be friendly and approachable, then we'd love you to think about being part of our team. And we're more than happy to chat to you afterwards about that.
As an eldership and kind of working it through and talking it through with us. I thought that the picture that Anise used of a family expecting children for the first time was just so helpful, because we do find change challenging, don't we? But actually, when we see what's at the end of it, okay, that, you know, when you have a new child, there's lots of things to do, but there's the excitement of new birth, new life. I just think that's such a helpful picture for us. So I know it's change. I would just echo their words. Hear the vision. See the vision behind it. Ask God to really capture your heart with an excitement and a passion for this. And come along and enjoy gathering together beforehand to have tea and coffee. and being part of all the connection that Anise and Vicky have been talking about. So we're going to just pray together now, because we just feel, you know, we presented it, this is what we're doing, but we need to pray, we need to ask God's blessing on this. So Vicky's just going to be leading us through in praying. So just want to say thank you so much to these two ladies, and just how excited I am about this. So thank you.
Still on, yeah. Excellent. Okay, so as Anise said, we're kind of, and Simon, we're getting our team together. And if there are any other people interested, then yeah, please do come and talk to us. And we will be praying specifically for the team, commissioning that team in the new year, because that's a great thing to do. But today, we're going to have four prayer points, which hopefully will come up on a slide at some point behind me. So first of all, what I really want to say is we really do have an excellent church family here, okay? But there is a little bit of a gap in terms of some young people and young families and young couples falling into the 20s to 30s age bracket. So that's one of the prayer points that we've got up on the slide there, to see growth in that area and see those people coming through the door. We also have a real heart for more first-generation Christians, people who are the first in their families to come to know Jesus. So that's another thing that we can pray for. And, you know, we just want to pray into our 2020 vision for growth, to see that vision of 200 plus regular adult attendees becoming a reality. Okay, that is what our heart is for. And we know that with change, there can be a bit of uncertainty. And you might be sitting there thinking that you're not sure about the changes and whether it really will be worth it. Okay, we can be honest. But we firmly believe it will be worth it. And we know that God is in this step towards the vision that he's given us to see his church grow. Okay, so we need everyone to take responsibility for new people coming into our church family. And we also therefore need to pray for the vision, the changes, and that our hearts will be on fire for what God has planned for his church here in Elsham. Okay, so if we can just pray for those four things, I would challenge you to go and connect with someone perhaps you don't normally pray with, and pray into these things now. Okay, thank you.